Well, we're always told to talk about our mental health, to try and move away from the stigma of mental illness. But some of our biggest insurance companies are now being accused of discriminating against people who are living with a mental illness. Last year alone, there were 1,400 official complaints about life insurance companies, with customers arguing they've been denied cover or face blanket exclusion on policies because of their mental health conditions. Jane Shield takes a look.
Insurance is a business where minimising risk is par for the course. But according to advocates, including Beyond Blue, insurers are taking it just a little too far when it comes to mental health. CEO of Beyond Blue is Georgie Harmon. She's heard hundreds of cases where people have been denied insurance after disclosing a mental health condition, like this case.
A middle-aged man filled in a form for income protection insurance. He disclosed, you know, as he should, that he had panic attacks in the 1990s and had subsequently received treatment for those and had not had a panic attack in a decade. He was asked to supply further information by the insurance company, which he did in good faith, and he answered those questions very truthfully. The result was a blanket exclusion in respect of his policy for all mental illnesses, even those not related to the condition of an anxiety condition.
In other cases, insurers do grant cover, but they may apply mental health exclusions to the policy. Georgie Harmon is concerned that these exclusions are applied differently to physical illness exclusions.
If you have a broken leg and you get excluded for insurance cover on the basis that you've had a broken leg, an insurance company wouldn't turn around and say, oh yes, but you know, we're also going to exclude you just in case you get a stomach ache at some point in the future. Now that may sound trite, but you know, mental illnesses are not homogenous, they're not all the same, they're very treatable.
It's actually legal for an insurer to discriminate on the basis of a disability, but the decision to do so must be based on actuarial and statistical data, and it must also be considered reasonable for the insurer to rely on that information. Georgie Harmon again.
Now at this point we're not convinced about that reasonableness argument and whether or not it's actually fit for purpose, and the reason we say that is because, you know, we continue to hear through our surveys and indeed through personal contacts that there seems to be a lack of understanding about the reality of living with a mental health condition.
That's the issue at the heart of this debate. Beyond Blue say insurers are using poor data and therefore overstating the risks posed by mental illness. Ed Santower is a lawyer with the Public Interest Advocacy Centre. He's acted in almost 100 discrimination cases.
The problem is essentially this. If there's too much, so to speak, bycatch in what the insurer does to stop inappropriate claims, then you have huge numbers of people who have a valid claim but are having that claim denied. So there's no question in every facet of society that people will try something on, and it's the role of any company to make sure that they protect themselves against that. But if in doing that many, many innocent people are badly affected, then that's where it's necessary to step in and change the system.
One of the cases Ed worked on involved a woman we'll call Teresa. She's settled out of court and is bound by a confidentiality agreement. For Ed Santow, this case demonstrates how insurers can get it wrong. On the advice of her GP, Teresa had sought counselling following a relationship breakdown. Some years later, she decided to apply for income protection insurance.
There was a specific question that she was asked about whether she'd ever had a mental illness or symptoms of a mental illness. And Teresa answered no. She later told us that she didn't even think about the appointments with the psychologist because, you know, her psychologist had never told her anything to think that she might have a mental illness, and there was never any suggestion that that was what those appointments were about.
Some years later, Teresa was diagnosed with chronic liver failure and so submitted a claim on her income protection insurance. The insurer initially began paying but sought additional medical records, discovering psychologist reports from years before. Despite no diagnosis of a mental illness, they stopped her payments over her alleged failure to disclose a mental health condition. Ed Santow again.
If insurance companies can get away with that, then it gives people a really false sense of security about things that people naturally are very, very anxious about. You know, the kinds of insurance we're talking about here, the kinds of insurance that, you know, if you get incredibly sick and can't provide for your family, that's that's your safety net. Or, you know, if it, heaven forbid, you were actually to die and again couldn't provide for your family, that's the form of insurance that we're talking about.
It's hard to know just how common this kind of discrimination might be, but the Public Interest Advocacy Centre is currently helping a dozen people. Beyond Blue continues to be contacted by people seeking help, and the Financial Services Ombudsman received 1,400 complaints last year related to life insurance disputes over a mental health condition. Despite numerous requests for a response from life insurance peak body, the Financial Services Council, they declined to be interviewed. They have, however, introduced a mental health education and training industry standard. It's a voluntary standard, and there's no way of knowing to what degree, if any, it's changing practices just yet. The Insurance Council of Australia is the peak body for general and travel insurance, and it's had long-running involvement in this debate. Spokesman Campbell Fuller says there's very good reasons insurers might exclude mental health.
Because of the great deal of uncertainty about the impact of mental health on insurance policies.
How does that uncertainty relate to uncertainties around a whole range of sort of unforeseen circumstances that people might take insurance out for, so physical injury, for instance?
Well, exactly the same, but we can quantify physical injury because we have a great deal of data available. And this is part of the contentious issue. Look, the general insurance industry does not have at its fingertips a large volume of data on mental health that would allow it to price mental health for risk.
It's this perceived lack of information that led the superannuation industry to create a National Mental Health Foundation, Superfriend. It's recently published a best practice framework for managing claims related to mental health. Margot Lydon is Superfriend's CEO.
We've got to get better at assessing people's functionality, how they function in life, what are they doing to minimise the chance of you know, an episode of depression or anxiety or, you know, whatever it might be, coming back into their lives. And I think the most important thing that we, you know, from the insurance side of things, is we do need to get better at this.
Despite that there might be some positive change in the future, for the moment, Beyond Blue CEO Georgie Harmon says things haven't changed enough.
As long as we continue to receive contact from people who tell us these stories that there's been a lack of understanding of the real risks that their illness may or may not present in terms of insurance cover, we will continue to ask the hard questions.
That's Georgie Harmon, CEO of Beyond Blue, ending that report from Jane Shield.